Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please be seated. On this Epiphany celebration, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Matthew begins, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. Who were these wise men? Scripture doesn't call them kings, and it doesn't say there were three, although we picture that because of the three gifts that were brought to the Christ child. By calling them wise men, I don't mean that they had the answers to everything, and I don't mean that they were smart alecks either. They did thirst. They thirst to become wise. They spent their time reflecting on world events. Maybe they were stargazers, astronomers, men who tried to understand human events by watching the sky. You know, another thing about these wise men, they were far away from God's kingdom. They likely lived hundreds of miles to the east of the Holy Land, and they probably had little Bible training. Apparently, they had heard about the Jews who longed for a Messiah, perhaps from the Babylonian captivity from when the Jews were exiled, perhaps from Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, where there's a prophecy of a king and a star. But possibly, they didn't know much more than that. Now watch them. Watch them. The Lord showed them a special star in the east. And maybe they didn't know much. Maybe the details were not clear. Though there were unanswered questions, they didn't just sit there. They set out on a trip that could take months. And it cost them money. It cost them by inconveniencing themselves. It meant time away from normal work and normal responsibilities and commitments. And that seemed fine with them. They yearned to get close to the one born the king of the Jews. Even after they had passed through Jerusalem, when they saw the star again on that final leg of their trip, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when these guys showed up in Jerusalem, the heart of the Holy Land, and told the Jews that they had seen a miraculous star pointing to the birth of the Messiah, you would have think that those believers would have been beside themselves with exceedingly great joy. But Matthew says it didn't go like that. The star that was such glad news to these pagans from the east turned out to be upsetting news for Jerusalem. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Well, you've surely heard of the Herods. They could be a bloodthirsty bunch. Once, one of the Herods massacred a crowd of people on the street just because he overheard that they were sympathizing with the victims that he had just killed. A bloodthirsty bunch. And when Herod heard of this star, he didn't think about God's promised Savior, the salvation of his soul, and what a good thing that this would be for his people. No. He thought, it's a threat for my throne. And this threat, it must be put down no matter the cost. Herod was a spiritual fake. Here is scheming. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship." One, he summons the wise men not openly, but secretly to calculate when the star appeared. Two, he sends them off to Bethlehem to check this out. Three, he lies about his intentions. And four, he makes it sound as if he wants to go himself to kneel before this child. But murder was in his heart the whole time. Herod wasn't alone in being upset by the star. Hear it again. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. The people were understandably upset. After all, Herod might go on a rampage, and when the sword starts swinging, no telling who will be cut down. Jerusalem's chief wonder at the star was whether they would be collateral damage. And you can certainly understand why they would be upset. When Herod convenes the Bible scholars and asks where the king was to be born, well, these spiritual leaders had an opportunity. They knew it was predicted for Bethlehem, just 6 miles down the road. Now, they could have said, "Brothers and sisters, the time has finally come. Let us go. Let us hurry along with these wise men." Well, they've come hundreds of miles. Let's walk these last 6 miles with them. But no. These people who know the scriptures and are totally familiar with God's promises, they take little to no interest, no excitement, no awe, no wonderment. They don't even encourage other people either. Let's just sit tight. Let's hope this blows over. You see it? Do you see it? A group of born pagans who know little of the true God undertake a grueling journey to get close to the newborn King of the Jews. Meanwhile, God's own people, the people he has called out of Egypt, the people that he brought into the promised land flowing with milk and honey, the people that he protected even while they were carried off into exile, the people who knew the Bible teaching, who were living just a nice walk down the road from Bethlehem, sit there. They don't seem interested in what the Lord of Mercy has placed in their own neighborhood. You realize that God got his way. Even if the people did respond poorly, even if Herod plotted and snuffed out the lives of many baby boys in Bethlehem in his attempt to kill Jesus, God got his way, with or without the people of Jerusalem, with or without Herod. He shielded his son. He moved his kingdom forward. And he could do that with Herod's help or without it, with a joyous welcome from Jerusalem, his people, or without it. And if he had to do it without Herod, his religious scholars, his people, then Herod and Jerusalem would end up being the losers. Do you get it? Do you grasp what's happening? The star makes a point. God will get his way with or without you. He can do that. And if he has to do it without you, you are the one that is left behind, who stands on the outside looking in. And in many ways, we're not always so different from those Jerusalem people. You've had incredible spiritual blessings. You have attended church on a regular basis. You have years of Bible teaching and preaching. But you and I have the same old sinful nature working deep down inside of us. We're really not better than the Jerusalem folks who didn't care much when the wise men arrived, all excited about the newborn king. We can reach the sad point where we shrug off the urgency of drawing near to the Christ child, because after all, we know all that stuff. Thus, the evil one can take a great spiritual heritage and turn it into a poison. Because we may say a shallow yes, yes to the Christmas message without embracing it with the gladness and the wonder and the awe of a child. The wise men had to travel hundreds of miles to get to the Christ. You didn't have to do anything like that. You've got Bethlehem right here in the church. Whenever the saving news of Jesus is sounded, whenever the holy sacraments are offered as Jesus himself, there you have the Christ child. There he is, giving himself and the free pardon of our sins of many years. They're all covered over and blotted out of God's memory by the blood of your Savior Jesus Christ, the blood shed upon the cross. What a wonder! Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do his will through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.